Welcome to Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped, and yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. This is Dreamland.
This indeed is Dreamland. Good evening, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and it's going to be quite a program. We've got a lot to fit in. Linda Moulton Howe will be here. She's attending a conference in San Francisco, and we'll go to her in just a few moments. Following that, a quick report from Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. A couple of very recent hot UFO sightings, big ones too. So we'll update on that. And then, something very unusual. A Native American Matisse. It'll be about Native American prophecy, and his name is Robert Ghostwolf. So all of that coming up. The deadline for our newsletter, for ordering our newsletter to get the following issue, is midnight tonight. So I would jump on it now. In that particular issue is going to be a complete coverage of the book signing we did in Portland. That was an amazing thing. The Roswell artifact, the one now being tested by a lab, a comprehensive and fascinating article on crop circles by, guess who? Linda Moulton Howe, with 11 beautiful, full-color crop circle photographs, and much more. All of that in the issue you can get if you order our newsletter before midnight. The number to call is 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. Well, all right, let's try and begin to sandwich all of this in from the Bay Area, and we'll find out what exactly she's doing. Here comes Linda Howe. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am, Art. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you, yes. What are you doing in San Francisco?
Well, I'm in San Francisco at the Whole Life Expo this weekend, and in a couple of minutes I will have an interview with author and abductee Whitley Strieber about his new upcoming book. But before that, I wanted to recap for our Dreamland audience what former Apollo 14 astronaut and physicist Edgar Mitchell said about his NBC Dateline appearance on April 19th, in which he stated that government officials in the USSR, Belgium, and the United States have told him they have had face-to-face meetings with extraterrestrials. And I know you did a long interview with him on Coast to Coast Friday night. Many people here were talking about it, Art.
Oh.
And I talked with Dr. Mitchell briefly on Friday as well in the morning just before I left. And here for a recap for our Dreamland audience is Dr. Physicist, astronaut, Edgar Mitchell.
What I said was that these people claim to have been in meetings or places where contact between ETs and our people took place.
Okay.
And there are some that claim that there are back engineering to learn how to build, to learn the technological side of ET craft.
Right.
But there are new ones coming forth that have been reticent to speak out, but that are getting quite elderly now and want to try to clear the record before they die. All I can say is that I was impressed by what little I gleaned in these meetings. The purpose of the meetings was to open the doors to get the classification released, to get these people granted amnesty from their security provisions. It was not to get the information out to the public, because these folks will tell their stories under the right circumstances.
Those right circumstances are deemed an executive order by the President of the United States to give amnesty to all of the insiders who have been in on the extraterrestrial UFO story and who have signed oaths. And I wondered if Dr. Mitchell had received any warnings not to talk so straightforwardly about an extraterrestrial presence, and this is that exchange.
All right.
Anybody ever come to you from an intelligence group or anybody in the government and said, Dr. Mitchell, don't talk about this?
No, but I'm expecting it.
If you are expecting it, what's your response going to be?
Go down. Give me your badge number and I'll talk about it in the press.
And your field is strongly now because why?
The evidence is mounting.
The evidence is mounting for a breakthrough for everyone's consciousness about ETs, according to author and abductee Whitley Strieber, who has been here this weekend at the Whole Life Conference. And he talked to me today about a new book called The Secret School, to be released in November. This is Whitley Strieber about the intent of his new book.
The Secret School.
The book will be a tool for empowerment, because as this whole new relationship with the cosmos opens up, we need empowerment. We need to understand what our powers and abilities are.
And our relationship with this strange space-time fabric, which seems to be quite different than what we've been taught.
Very different than what we've been taught. One of the things I learned in the secret school context was that time can be looked at as the future like water. The present is like something that compresses it into ice, and the past is like ice. But you can go back into the past and you can change things, because ice is full of bubbles and it's not all completely frozen. And you can go into the future and you can shape the future if you know what you're doing. We need to evolve a science of prophecy, because we are at the razor's edge on this planet. As we talk right now, prices are beginning to go through the ceiling. Gasoline prices are beginning to rise. Gas prices may go down again in the fall, but the fact of the matter is, the planet, according to the World Watch Institute, basically has reached its capacity to feed human beings.
Right, supply and demand are now out of whack.
Out of whack.
And Art 12 is the quickening. And you've talked with him before, and right now, at this conference in San Francisco, where this whole issue of a whole new relationship with the universe seems to be what everybody is talking about, if you were personally looking at the next 3 to 5 years in Art's terms, the quickening, what would you personally think is going to happen in terms of the prophecy that you are trying to describe in this new book?
I think anyone who was willing to try to predict out 3 to 5 years at this point would have a big fat ego. I have to tell you that what I feel is a tremendous sense of a huge energy just flowing into me and flowing into all of us, all over the world. Quickening is a good word, but it's like an acceleration of being is taking place. I don't know what lies beyond this. I really don't know. This is it's the most difficult thing to prophesy, I think, that you could ask. I think that...
Well, things come unstrung, do you think, when the visitors are introduced?
Things will come unstrung in a lot of different ways. Now, certain things are going to get a lot stronger. Like, if I can predict, if I may be so bold, from my own life, my experience, in part, was so terrible and so negative and so difficult to deal with that I ended up clinging to my relationship with God, because that was all I had. And bearing in mind that you're talking to a person who didn't even necessarily believe before his experience that God even existed, I ended up with the realization that part of human destiny is to become a companion to eternal being, and that this is an immediate, real, and absolutely true presence that's available to all of us right now. One of the things that this overwhelmingly powerful experience of general contact is going to do is it's going to force us to grasp at the strongest things that we know, and that will be, of all of them, the strongest.
The relationship we have with the unseen at a powerful spiritual level.
With God, yes.
And along that same theme, I asked Dr. Mitchell if he thought that the current status quo that is being held by the insiders could be released now before we hit 2000. And I thought that Dr. Mitchell's comment was appropriate because it reflects also what Whitley Strieber and others were talking about today on a panel. Dr. Mitchell says this is like the last fight of the dinosaurs to keep the jungle like it was, and that there are events that are moving us forward, as you call it, Art, the quickening.
Yes.
That things are changing around us regardless of any old paradigms. They are apparently being swept away, and what's in front of us is a new cosmology, a complete redefinition of the universe, of space-time, of our relationship to it, and our ability, apparently, to move in a universe in ways that we have yet to learn.
Well, something clearly is going on, Linda. All right, that was a little hard to hear because it sounded like you might have been in a big hall or something.
It was a room off of a conference hall. It sounds pretty clear here, but again, we're fighting that. Where can we do these telephone communications? And I apologize because I think
it's
important information, and I hope that our listeners could hear some of this.
Well, I hope so, too. All right. You want to give us an address where people can write to you or get your books and materials, of which you have many?
Yes, thank you. And I just want to know if you feel like if it wasn't clear, I may reconstitute a story in the future. Do you feel like it did come through at all, or is
it
too echoey?
Oh, no. It was echoey, but I was able to understand it, so I presume the audience was.
Okay,
too.
I hope so. Well, if you... Any of you listening who didn't, please write me at Post Office Box 300 in Jamison, Jamison, Pennsylvania, zip code 18929, not just about this evening's program, but about all of the various encounters that all of you seem to be having on a lot of fronts. I very much value and welcome your letters. And for information about my books and documentaries, there is the toll-free number, 800-707-9993. That's 800-707-9993.
And they can also, of course, go up to my worldwide webpage and get more on your materials, your books, a photograph of you, and standing right in the middle of a big crop circle.
Right.
All right. Now, that's www.artbell.com. Easy to get to, and all of Linda's stuff will be right there. Okay, Linda?
Yes, and Art, did you feel that Edgar Mitchell is perhaps the first of several people who have had some very serious experiences in the science world who maybe, out of their own frustrations, he may be one of one or two or three that are going to begin to talk now about some of this?
Yes, coming up on the UPN Network, Paranormal Borderline, is going to be Gordon Cooper.
Right.
So he's going to be yet another to come forward. Yes, oh, indeed, Linda.
And so the quickening continues, and the revolution is around us.
It does, and that's going to be our subject tonight. Linda, thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. That's Linda Moulton Howe, The Quickening. Boy, I'll tell you, if only I had known. Our main guest coming up in a little while, Robert Ghostwolf, has a little pamphlet out, and my jaw dropped when I saw it. It's entitled The Quickening. So, it's like a great echo coming back to me. We're going to go now quickly to Seattle, Washington, or just outside Seattle. No, I think he's in Seattle. It's Peter Davenport, and he's at the National UFO Reporting Center, and things are getting hot up there, aren't they, Peter?
They are indeed, Art, and I'm delighted to be on tonight. There were two major events this morning. We are talking about Sunday, the 28th of April, that I thought the Dreamland listeners would like to know about, and in fact, we're seeking a little more information about them ourselves. The first one was apparently an immense explosion somewhere in the western end of Montana or in northern Idaho this morning at approximately between 1 and 2 a.m. this morning. We took several calls on it, one from law enforcement, one of the deputy sheriffs down in Bonneville County, which is the county in which Idaho Falls is located, witnessed the event. We took three calls. One was from Whitefish, Montana. A group of people in the Kalispell area were on a mountaintop last night, or this morning. They saw an immense blue-green fireball come straight down out of the sky. They witnessed it for less than 5 seconds, they know. They saw it hit the ground. They saw the explosion, it has been alleged. We took another report from Idaho Falls. A group of young people were partying, and they saw what we presume was the same event. They pegged it within 5 or 10 minutes of what was reported from Kalispell. The interesting thing about the report from Idaho Falls is that about 4 or 5 minutes after this group of people saw the aerial phenomenon, the flash of light and the huge big ball of light come down, they felt the shockwave. They heard the explosion 4 or 5 minutes after it occurred. It must have been an immense explosion. We have alerted a number of UFO investigators in Montana, Idaho, and state of Washington to see if we can pin it down. University of Idaho Astronomy Department has been apprised of it as well, some emergency management agencies, and so on and so forth. But part of what I'd like to do tonight is let our listeners know that if they were witness to that event this morning in the western end of Montana or in Idaho, we would certainly welcome a brief telephone call.
All right.
The other thing that makes us wonder whether we understand this event or not is a very dramatic sighting that occurred south of the western panhandle of Florida this morning, 82 miles south of the shore. A commercial boat, I think it may have been a fishing boat, but I'm not sure. The call came in at 5:20 this morning. I wasn't as sharp as I should have been. But a skipper, a very serious-minded skipper who's been at sea for 25 or 30 years, he said, and his crew of four were witness to a most astonishing object that circled around their commercial vessel this morning at about 3:30 East Coast time. He said it was the brightest thing he's ever seen in his life. It was the strangest thing he's ever seen in his life. He and his crew members stood on the deck, transfixed by this object, while it circled around their vessel. He said, as bright as the light was, he could see the shape of the object in the ball of light that they were looking at, and he got an impression of its shape. So that was a very dramatic event. Thursday night, we took a call from the California Highway Patrol down in the Los Angeles area. There was some kind of extraordinarily bizarre interaction between a man who was driving east out of Santa Barbara on Route 126, headed for I-5, headed to his home down in Los Angeles. All he remembers is he fueled his Dodge Ram, and this is a very serious-minded sounding individual. I was impressed with his eloquence. I was impressed with his understanding of events. But all he remembers is this, Art. There was an immensely bright white flash of light on the hood of his vehicle, after which he started seeing human events, well-known human events from the history of this planet.
Oh, that's incredible.
Now, so far it's only hearsay evidence. He called the highway patrol when he found himself approximately 125 miles down the road. His fuel tank, which he had filled in Montecito, California, which I believe is just east of Santa Barbara, was still full. He said, this is impossible. This is a route that he travels frequently, apparently, on business or pleasure. He said his tank should have been significantly down from what it was when he filled it up. And
well, listen, with gas prices the way they are, maybe it was causing him to see things. Peter, you want to hold on for a moment?
I will indeed.
Bring you back after the bottom of the hour.
I have a short tape to play if you'd like, if we have time.
We will. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center in Seattle. I'm Art Bell, and you're listening to Dreamland. Stay right where you are, and we will be right back. Back now, momentarily, to Peter Davenport, who's got a tape for us. Peter, would you say that things are beginning to heat up out there?
From our vantage point, they certainly seem to be becoming more and more bizarre all the time. Whether the volume of calls is any greater or not, I can't say, Art.
Mm-hmm.
But since the 12th of April, we have taken some calls from all across the country that surprise even me, a seasoned UFO investigator. Friday night, the 12th of April, just to give you a brief overview and give our viewer or our listeners a brief overview. Friday night, the 12th of April, we took a call from New York Air Traffic Control Center, the FAA. A shift supervisor called us to report that they had tracked an object on radar that was at 40 or 41,000 feet, tracking another airliner headed from Albany, New York, down to Nashville, Tennessee. and the object, the unidentified object, was hopping from the left side of the aircraft to the right side of the aircraft.
Oh, boy.
When the crew was describing to the center what the object was doing, the air traffic controllers could see it doing the same movements on radar. That was Friday night, just a few minutes before midnight, East Coast time. That was over Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, out in the center part of the state, north of Altoona.
All right, Peter, we don't have a lot of time, so...
Let me play about a 1 minute, 1 1/4 minute, tape of a report we took last Wednesday of an apparent interaction up in northern New Hampshire.
All right.
8 days ago, the 20th of April. Here we go.
All right.
I was traveling from Boston to Gilman, Vermont, and it's a 3-hour drive, and what happened was I was driving, I got pretty close to my destination, and I was on a very desolate road. It's route number 135,
right,
heading northeast on this route, and next to a sign, Mount Misery Road, I remember seeing that. I had noticed some lights in the sky, and I had pulled my car over to the side of the road, and at that point, I think what happened was my rear window, the fogger came on, and it made like a buzzing noise or something that kind of startled me. I didn't know what it was, and it's never made that noise before, and I had shut that off and looked up and noticed these lights, and I had gotten out of the car, and about maybe 200-300 feet above me was a huge object. It was, I mean, really big. I can't give you, like, an estimate on how big it was, but I've flown on big, giant planes, like 747. I would say it was maybe twice the size of that. And it was shaped like a boomerang, and it had lights all along the bottom of the, I guess you would call them wings, the boomerang thing itself, whatever the frame of the object was.
Okay.
And on the very bottom of it, there was a round, bubble-like window. I was very scared. I'll tell you, I didn't know what to do or what to make of it, and it didn't do anything. It just sat there over the road, and there was nobody around. It was so desolate out there. And the next thing you know, it just shot straight off up in the air. And
all right, Peter.
That was 8 days ago.
Oh, my. Well, it's hot. We'll have you on as a guest in the meantime. Give us the phone number for the reporting center, if you would.
It is area code 206-722-3000, and people can get our email address by going through your website.
All right, it's up. It seems like everything's on my website. All right, 206-722-3000, right?
That is correct.
Peter Davenport, thank you.
Thank you, Art.
And take care. That's Peter Davenport. We'll have him on as a guest once again from the National UFO Reporting Center in Seattle. I'm Art Bell. This is Dreamland. Coming up in just one moment, Robert Ghost Wolf.
This is the end of Side 1. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
Wolf has been called a prophet, a master teacher, a poet, a grizzly bear. He is the wolf, always the master teacher. He has enjoyed experience from many careers, country music, Native American flutist, construction work, even the high finance of Wall Street. That's quite a range. But he left all of this behind for a more natural way of life, a way closer to the memory that he held of his heritage as a Native American. Indeed, he is a Métis, that is, a mixture, Apache, Iroquois, Lakota, and one that I can't pronounce, and so we'll ask him, what is that last one? I'm very sorry. I've got Apache, Iroquois, Lakota, and?
Haudenosaunee.
Oh, I'm glad I asked. And a Métis is a mixture, is that right?
That's correct.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
When did this change take place? When did you dump Wall Street and dump all these other careers that you've had and go to a simpler life?
I dumped the American dream sometime in the mid-80s, Art.
The American dream, huh?
I've had some experiences out in the Southwest with Native teachers who are teaching me what I do today. And I've had some experiences in the lodges that made me realize that perhaps things weren't as I had been told.
How exactly are things? I know that you deal a lot with prophecy, and we'll get into that, but you've got a little pamphlet here that's called The Quickening, which caused my jaw to drop. I've been using that for a couple of years now. Just kind of a, you know, I'm a talk show host, so I deal with people, I deal with news, I deal with current events. And I began noticing a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, that events are quickening. Political, social, economic, they're all quickening. Things are happening more rapidly at a faster pace. And I guess, is that Is that the meaning that you attach to this?
That's precisely the meaning behind the quickening, where what I am working with now is trying to help people understand what it is that's occurring. We are going through a shifting of the metabolic rate, if you would, of the Earth, where time itself is speeding up. This is due to many things. It's due to the shifting of the poles, which isn't a shifting that would cause things to fall over to one side of the Earth and everything fall off. It's more like electrical poles that are moving and shifting like waves. Hmm. And this is causing many things to change in relation to what we have been existing under in what we would call the old paradigm. The old paradigm is basically what we have existed under, say, for the last 5,000 years.
In what way? In other words, I see people, Robert, beginning to be, their irritability level is much higher, and people are shorter with each other. The state of civilization is less, at least socially it is. Technically it keeps advancing, but socially we seem to be regressing.
I think that technically advancing is a matter of interpretation. if we're technically advancing by using destructive forces and destructive energies and polluting our environment and the very food and water that we drink, then I don't really consider that an advancement. But my focus with what I work with is not so much Earth changes. They're going to occur. We know that they're going to occur. But precisely what you're talking about, and the irritability of people, the lack of vision of youth, the feeling of malaise and hopelessness,
yes,
in youth is astonishing. And it doesn't matter where you go. It's not isolated to a particular region of America or Europe or China or Africa or Japan. It's a global situation. And part of that has to do with this quickening, and the quickening has to do with a shifting in consciousness, which is exactly what it is. It's, mm-hmm, it's that there are so many human beings on the Earth at this point that we are shifting into a global soul, if you would.
A global soul.
A global soul. We are feeling what they're feeling in China, we're feeling in the Black Hills of South Dakota. What's happening in Mexico is being felt emotionally up in Canada. And the reason for this is and it's an old Lakota saying, Ohomi Takwias, we are all one. Understanding that we are literally one with the Earth, and as long as we refuse to acknowledge the connection in what I call the web of life, then we are going to find that we're going to become increasingly agitated and short-tempered, because we're not going to understand the emotional changes, which are the things that are really important now.
Hey, Robert, do you remember hearing recently about the Unabomber?
Yes, I do.
You know, what he did, of course, was awful in killing people. But a lot of people read his so-called manifesto and frankly agreed with it, mm-hmm, regarding the technology and the way we're going right now. Did you have an opportunity to review that at all, and from your perspective?
Actually, I only reviewed it from reading headlines, because I've been on the road teaching. But my feeling is that people are looking for a justification for their dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he went about it, if he did do this, we don't ever know. But if he did do this, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is not to give in to anger and violence. That's been the history of this world, especially over the last 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. I know that you deal with prophecy a great deal, and so I guess I should ask you as directly as possible. Without change, without some change, great change in the paradigm, overused word, I know, where are we headed? What is ahead for us? Can you tell me?
A lot of social strife. Approximately, it was March 28th, 1990. It was the equinox of spring in March of 95.
Right.
Where thousands and thousands of indigenous people throughout the world, not just North and South America, got together to bring in a new grid, if you would, a light grid on the planet, which would enable a new consciousness to be rooted here. Again, the term that could most easily be used is Christ consciousness. We are, if we don't create a space, if change doesn't happen, the social structures are collapsing, the religious structures are collapsing, the financial structures are obviously collapsing. There's no way to keep patching up the dam. And all that we keep doing is trying to patch up the dam. Now, I don't think that's really people's fault because we don't have full information. But if we do not create change, which is what we're doing intuitively by the emotional chaos that we're going through, mm-hmm. then there will be no room for anything new to happen. If your hard drive is all filled up, how are you going to put new information in? And so when we're talking about change, we're talking about a complete change here. The globe has got to change with humanity and our attitude toward the Earth and each other rather dramatically in a very short period of time. We're no longer on the leisure road to enlightenment. We don't have another 5,000 years to get this one right.
How long do we have?
According to the Hopi elders that I work with and according to what I've gotten, we have less than 5 years.
Boy, that's what everybody says.
Now, I
don't mean that lightly. I interview a lot of people who do prophecy, Gordon Michael Sky and others. And even though the roads may seem at times different, the schedules are about the same and the end effect about the same. So many people saying roughly the same thing, and now you.
Well, we don't have to look at it as doom and gloom. We simply look at it as change. If we look at it as change... When the child grows up and has to leave the home, there's a tremendous change in the whole nucleus of the home. And attitudes must adjust, and people's way of life must adjust. And so what we're talking about with the Earth would probably be better called a rebirthing than a doom and gloom. What we're talking about in less than 5 years is that, yes, the social structures, the mechanical structures, the infrastructure of our social system has to collapse because it's out of control. It's already out of control.
People will send me sometimes, Robert, the definition of quickening. Quickening, one definition of it is a birthing. The first feeling a mother has as the child moves within. That first moment of that fluttering feeling of movement.
That's a good metaphor.
Yes. So there will be change. Now, you say you need not be doom and gloom, but with this change, if we don't change and we allow whatever's coming to go ahead and come, there will be many people who will not physically, at any rate, make it to the other side. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's a situation going on relating to something that we now call a phenomenon that actually it's not. This government's been aware of it since 1962. It has to do with the orbit of our solar system. This is very much related in the Mayan calendars, and where we understood the cycles of the universe, not just the cycles of the four seasons. And essentially, we are now moving into this photon belt. And the photon belt, very simply put, is simply light. It's light. It's white light.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's doing, the intensity of that, is causing an expansion of the molecular structure of things, which is why we're sensing a quickening. It's also got a tremendous gravitational pull. The Earth, just a few short years ago, was basically hurling through space at 8,000 miles an hour. At the present velocity, you could estimate that by the year 2010, we'll be moving somewhere around 200,000 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
So now we're talking about actual fact of this is what we're feeling as a quickening. As that's occurring, we're also feeling it consciously, because consciously, what I try to impress on people is that thought literally creates. And everything that we have around us is a result of that thought. In the Native American cultures, we all have stories of how we emerged from the inner earth. It's a commonality. Also, we all have stories of this time. The Hopi prophecies, which are very accurate at telling us about this time are well over 10,000 years old. And they're so accurate, it's frightening. And they describe social changes that we're talking about right now. They're talking about the social unrest. They're talking about the agitation of people. And the agitation of people is basically a result of being separated from their spiritual side.
All right. Here's an example. I work a lot with current events. A six-year-old is accused of murder in the Bay Area, possibly even premeditated murder and killing a 30-day-old infant. Two eight-year-olds involved, released now, just on burglary charges. But our children, killing our children, in the last decade, I should say, Robert, children's crime has increased about 300%. The last 10 years, Robert, nobody can ignore that. Something's happening.
Something's definitely happening. And part of what's happening is we are losing our humanity. We are losing our soul.
Yes.
We are losing our spirit. 10 years ago, this was a strange metaphorical thing to talk about. Today, you go to universities and people are spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars trying to understand it, including the scientists. We're starting to understand that everything that is going on within a human being, illness, cancer, all of it is related to emotional attitude. And when you're dealing in a world where parents no longer have time for their children, and children no longer have time for their parents,
yes,
when the entire family structure has been basically desecrated, you're dealing with a sense of tremendous hopelessness, and hopelessness in any situation with any, especially with a human being, will result in an outbreak of rage. And what we're seeing is rage. And it doesn't really matter if it's a six-year-old or a 50-year-old,
mm-hmm,
because the human soul itself does not know age.
All right, Robert, I'm going to ask you to hold on. That's a good place to hold it right there. Relax. You've got several minutes. We'll do the news, our commercial load, and get right back to you. My guest is Robert Ghost Wolf, a Native American of many tribes. And we're going to talk a bit more about the Hopi and about the quickening and about what's going on in our world. I would suggest you get into an easy seat and prepare to listen. For a Sunday night, as always, this is Dreamland. I'm Art Bell. All right, my guest is Robert Ghost Wolf, a Native American, and we're talking about Native American prophecy. We're talking about the quickening, and at the top of this last hour, no matter what news service you had, I'm sure you heard about the killings in Australia. It seems a man took a gun and killed, from what I heard, about 32 people. Now, I said Australia. Not America. Normally you hear about these things in America. This time, Australia. Robert, symptomatic of what's going on all over the world?
It's very symptomatic, Art. We're dealing with a neurosis that's become a psychosis.
Yes.
So people, again, are releasing their frustration through violent means, because it's the way we've been programmed in a warrior society.
A warrior society.
Yes, we basically have a warrior society which is alien to the earth. This is not the way things are here in a natural state. If you follow the Native American way or read it to any degree, you'll understand that, number one, everything was a matriarchy and not a patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything came through the mother. Everything in the family was held together by the mother. The Iroquois people based their whole cultural understanding and their whole history and the teachings of their prophet, Daganoweda, based on the family fire, and it all comes from the feminine. And we're living in a world where the feminine and the male are totally out of balance.
Do you view, as many Native Americans do, the earth to be a living organism?
I think that that's the problem with people understanding perhaps what we're discussing here. She is absolutely her own being, with her own consciousness, her own will, her own desires. And we're dealing right now with a very big problem, which perhaps should be addressed right now, connected to the blast that the French have done in the Pacific. They've caused... If people are so concerned about the earth changes and they're worried about it, that even the United Nations is getting together and having meetings about it. Even the United Nations has come up with a plan called biodiversity, which is for control of the population because of the potential overpopulation of the earth and the situations with pollution. Then why, on the other hand, would they turn around and blow up 6 atomic bombs in the Pacific Ocean and go, well, this has no effect? I think maybe they should ask the whales about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm very wrapped up in technology, and I've always thought of myself as very pragmatic, not wanting to believe the kinds of things that you're talking about, and yet I have this nagging feeling, Robert, that you're right.
Well, I'll give you a little technical information. Going to minerals, it's very important to have minerals.
Yes.
When we do ceremonies, I tie 405 prayer ties for each of the elements of the earth, you see. And if we go to science, everything in our body is made up of all the elements of the earth. We're just basically put together with a different recipe. And part of what's going on right now in the quickening with the infusion of this energy and which is coming down through vibrations and light to the earth, from the earth, from the other galactic bodies in space, other planets, other galaxies, and ships, what we're dealing with is our ability to assimilate the knowledge. And how many people do we know are basically suffering from iron deficiency right now? There's no metal in their blood. There's no minerals in their blood.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go to how do we make a simple thing like a tape cassette or a CD disc, and how does the information of a singer get on the disc, and then we take it home and play it in our little recorder and enjoy the same thing live.
Mm-hmm.
It basically comes off the forming and the pattern set forth by the metal on the disc.
That's true.
If we eliminate the metal from the disc, or if we go over the disc with a magnet, we're going to alter everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we either get a distortion or we could totally erase the tape. So if everything is coming through us in vibration like radio waves, then if there is not enough mineral substance within the blood to assimilate that knowledge, we're going to have gaps. So maybe everybody isn't really suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Maybe they're basically suffering from a lack of minerals. We're not getting proper nutrition from food and from the water that we drink, you know.
Yes, I do know.
And this is, when you're in a state of confusion, anybody in the state of confusion goes through a feeling of panic. And how do we react to panic? And unfortunately, we're reacting to panic through violence. What's happened in the Pacific, which is quite well known and well established over in Europe, which is where I heard it from Denmark, is that there is basically a 7-mile hole that was ripped open off the coast of South America in the ocean floor. And we've got millions and millions and millions of gallons literally pouring into the inner earth. You see. And the earth is going to do something to rectify that.
Yes, I've had that feeling too. Many have predicted earth changes coming. Do you know what's coming? Do you think you know what's coming?
I've seen things that are coming, yes. I think that you're going to have something major happen in the middle to the beginning of November, somewhere between Mexico and California. The thing that makes it hard to predict as to the precise longitude and latitude is these fissures are shifting as we're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The bellowing of heat, there's a volcano that's going off, I think, about 100 miles off the coast of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
that is spewing out sulfur gas,
right.
on the beaches of Oregon that's so strong that people can't even stand on the beach. But we're not hearing that on the news. We probably hear it on your show.
You have, and we've made people aware of what's going on off the coast of Oregon. Coos Bay, actually, I think, pretty much off Coos Bay.
And I just came back from doing ceremony with the Hopi a few weeks ago, and we asked questions in the ceremony about what we should look from that could be happening in the immediate future that we should be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
And much to our surprise and the elders that I was with, a lot of what we got was directed from other dimensional beings, not spirits. We're talking about other dimensional beings. We're talking about extraterrestrials, which at this point, if you're ready, I'll tell you.
I'm ready. Hope
and,
from the Hopi.
I think that you could. You're going to see a lot more interaction between us and what I call the star beings. They come from many, many galaxies. The two probably most influential at this point in protecting us, if you will, have to do with the Sirians from Sirian A,
mm-hmm.
and the Andromedans.
Mm-hmm.
There's a star that we just all watched over the last few weeks called the Blue Comet,
yes.
and everybody was outside looking at it. Well, it sort of goes back to last, was it the summer of 94 when the comets hit Jupiter?
Yes.
Well, science, I thought it was rather funny watching TV as all the scientists were telling us that this never happened before. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what the inner atmosphere of Jupiter was like. But we had absolutely nothing to fear.
Hayakutake is what you refer to. The,
yes, I am.
Japanese
and basically, the way the Hopi look at that is that was the fertilization of the egg. It was the fertilization of Jupiter to become the new sun.
Hmm.
And this blue comet is referred to as the Blue Kachina. And the Blue Kachina is bringing forth the transformation. It's the announcement that the transformation, the end time, is here. Now, what I'm going to tell you about the blue comet is that it's not a comet at all. It's a ship. It's a mothership. And it's a ship from Andromeda. And the ship from Andromeda is here to make sure that others don't interfere with what we're trying to accomplish on this globe.
Interesting. Scientists, for the first time ever, detected a strong X-ray emissions from that comet.
Correct.
And I stood up at that one and said, hmm. And you're saying that was not a comet?
No, it's a ship. It's a ship. There's another comet, a red comet, that they reported recently. That comet is what the Hopi call the Red Kachina. And that is part of what will fulfill the prophecies of the comet striking the Earth. Now, I'm not going to say that the whole Earth is going to be destroyed. What I'm going to say is that a piece of that is going to break off and cause things to change here. There's another strange thing that's happening that science, again, is recording right now, and it's all over the newspapers. Sometimes it's called the Taos Hum.
Yes.
They're reporting strange sounds in space. They're trying to figure out what this emanation is. And this is part of what's occurring now. What is occurring now is something that has never, ever happened before. It has never, ever, ever happened in our entire history as a human race, which is that the universe itself is giving birth to a new dimensional reality. And what it's causing within all of us is to be pulled up. We're literally being pulled up. We're being pulled up in our consciousness. We're being pulled up in our vibration. We're being pulled up into another dimension. And when people are talking about the shift, what they're really talking about is a total vibrational shift. And everything in this earth is absolutely energy. Everything is energy. If you go to any shaman, they will say it's energy. If I emanate a sound and we're chanting a sound, we can literally cause vibrations in the sand to alter. And this sound, which is coming now from the black holes, is literally changing the molecular structure of everything. It's bringing everything up, so to speak, to deal with this new dimensional reality, which is why we are going through so much agitation and so much frustration, because we still hold on to a paradigm that we live for one lifetime, complete everything within that lifetime. At the end of that lifetime, we either go to heaven or hell. And yet at the same time, we're spending a lot of money going to psychics to have regressions about our past lives. So if we've had past lives, doesn't it mean that there's a continuum going on and that perhaps we are actually eternal?
What do you believe the nature of the soul to be, Robert? Or do we go, in other words, are we rebirthed? Do you believe in reincarnation? What do you believe is the nature of the soul?
I believe that the nature of the soul is the divine spark of life. Perhaps Great Spirit. Perhaps God. Perhaps Yahweh. Perhaps whatever you feel that you must call this emanation of the life force. And the soul holds the emotional memory of all things that we have ever experienced since the beginning of time. which is why we can, through heart connection, and it's really only through heart connection that we can travel back through time or move through time. Yes, we have developed technology. We all are aware now of the Montauk experiment, but that is technology, and a lot of things went wrong with that technology.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the experiment in Philadelphia with the USS Eldridge, Kessler screamed a warning not to fool around with something that we didn't know how to control with, and yet they went ahead and did it anyway. And I've had the opportunity of speaking with many of the beings, individuals who were on that ship who have come back and now are regaining full memory of what occurred. And there were many skips through the time-space continuum.
Where
they literally reappeared at different times, at different locations, and there are recordings of this actually happening. Now, the frightening thing about that is that they never stopped experimenting with those time-space continuums.
Still doing it today.
They're still doing it today. And we now have so many of these artificial time-space continuums existing that people seem to be appearing out of nowhere, disappearing, or they're having strange experiences in the desert, where suddenly a ship appears in the middle of Lake Havasu.
Yes.
And they're questioning their own sanity about it. And it's that everything here, if we go back to the indigenous understanding, let's call it the indigenous understanding, because native people that I speak about and indigenous people that I speak about are not just what we stereotype as the Indian. It's not necessarily dances with wolves in that image. What we're dealing with is the indigenous people of the globe who still hold the original teachings, the memory of the original teachings that they have perpetuated well over 10,000 years.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that, as you suggest, that technology is still being experimented with. If the original story was true, and I believe the Philadelphia experiment did indeed occur, I've always felt that nobody would just file that technology away and stop playing with it. So you think that things are literally almost sort of blinking in and out?
They are blinking in and out right now. And again, that's due to this vibratory rate that's increasing. And with the vibratory rate that's increasing, you're getting dimensions and time continuums melting into each other. They're literally merging into each other. You see?
Your name, how did you get it? Robert Ghostwolf. What does it mean?
I was given the name by a Chiricahua medicine man. And it had to do with the fact that I had this ability to, during ceremony, go in and out of dimensions or disappear.
Really?
And so he nicknamed me Ghost Wolf. And so that sort of stuck. And that's basically how I got it. You know?
Well, that's quite an ability, to literally disappear, to move.
I wish, yes, I do. But I couldn't write a book on how to do it because I don't know how I do it.
Where do you go? Can you tell us that?
Sometimes I go back through time. Sometimes I go back to places where there were great, incredible cities here in America. And I've gone back to these locations when I haven't been in that state to see if everything I was experiencing was a vision or a hallucination.
Right.
And I have literally found Hebraic writing on petroglyphs in New Mexico. I have found Celtic writing, which tells many things. There's a particular place that I love down in Asotin, Idaho, called Buffalo Eddy, where the whole story of the Galactic Wars that we keep talking about in our mythology and ancient Bible stories is all recorded. The whole story is recorded. And sometimes I find that I go to a place where I talk to what would be referred to as the Ascended Masters. My word about the Ascended Masters is there's more than 14, and there's a lot more women than there are men, and they're also from many different cultures, and what they really are total brothers living in the next dimension that's parallel, right adjacent to this one, which is where we're going. We're going to a fifth dimensional reality.
It has been suggested to me by many that what we're doing on this planet now is heading us in a certain direction that will have an effect on people in another dimension. And that one of the reasons we're seeing so many ships, so many craft, is because they want to affect the direction that we're going in for their own good. Anything to that?
Yes, there is. I think that, first of all, this society, which is going through its adolescence right now, is still trying to determine the reality and nature of UFOs and extraterrestrials, where most of your indigenous cultures accept this as part of life.
Long since.
Long since. And this is not something new. This has been going on since our beginnings. I mean, the cities of Quetzalcoatl in Egypt and the mountains and the pyramids have all been, and they all have stories written in stone about our interrelationship with galactic beings.
All right.
They all have stories that Zachariah Sitchin brought out from the Sumerian records.
All right, Robert, we've got to hold it there. Stand by. We'll be right back to you. My guest is Robert Ghostwolf. I'm Art Bell. All right, I'm going to give you a brief rendition of the phone numbers. We're going to open the lines for Robert Ghostwolf here in a moment. The first-time caller line is area code 702-727-1222. The wild card lines are area code 702-727-1295. West of the Rockies, it's 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. Art, from Jody in Hawaii, great start to your show tonight. It's a little unnerving, isn't it? You coined the quickening phrase. And as I observe the world and listen to your guests, I have no doubt something is going on. It can be somewhat disconcerting. From Mary, listening in San Francisco, dear Art, please ask your guest about the meaning of a ceremony for, quote, dissolving the boundaries, end quote, that is supposed to take place within the Navajo Nation in the Four Corners area in the next couple of months. Do you know anything about that, Robert?
I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently.
All right.
I've been asked to go down there, but my work in that area is with the Hopi, and unfortunately, they don't communicate that well with each other sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ceremonies also going on in the Hopi reservation to do this, and amongst the other nations to ease this shifting through, so that humanity does not go through this emotional pain and resort to self-destruction, resort to the only way to solve the confusion is through violence.
This piece of comet that you expect to break off, you said, and hit Earth, do you have any idea where?
Somewhere in the Nevada desert.
I wish people would stop saying that.
Not by you, Art.
Well, I'm in the Nevada desert.
I know, but we're going to do it west of you.
Well,
this way you can still broadcast what's going on.
It can't be too far west, Robert, because I'm about 8 miles east of the California border.
Oh, well, then we'll go east.
I see. All right, let's take a few phone calls. And east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello, where are you?
Yes, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I wonder if I could ask two quick questions. The first one is what should someone do to be prepared for some of these changes that are coming? And second, was wondering if he had any perspectives on crop circles and animal mutilation.
All right. To prepare for what's coming?
The most important thing that you can do, understand that Great Spirit is simple. Everything in life is simple. As we try to analyze what's happening and all the probabilities that could happen, we tend to overcomplicate our reaction. The basic problem right now with all humanity, we're all one family. There's only one human race. It's the Earth race. We're all one humanity. The most important thing that we can do now is open our hearts and deal with the intuitiveness, with the feminine side of our nature, to follow our own intuition on what to do, to open ourselves up to the spiritual side of our nature. That's what's going to get us through this very hard time that's coming. As far as animal mutilations and
crop circles,
the crop circles are very ancient ways of communicating that go back to the Druids and ceremonies and the understanding of the ley lines on the earth, where every spiritual site, which is now a church or a temple, was basically built on a location where these lines would cross, and there were to be an energy that emanated out of the earth that would cause a cracking in dimensions. Also, what the crop circles have to do is the communication between people from the inner earth and the galactic beings who are here, that are basically giving them readings on frequency and genetics from a level that we have still yet to comprehend.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where...
I was going to ask if there has been any deciphering of the crop circles.
Well, actually, there was, quite by accident. If one were to go to the ancient astrological symbols and the ancient Hebrew writing, what you'll find is that they give longitudes, latitudes, dates, and they relate to certain constellational occurrences in space on those timelines. It was totally by accident, and I sort of said, well, it can't really be this simple, but it was that simple.
So in effect, they prophesize.
Yes, they totally prophesize. They prophesize dates, locations, and occurrences. What our job is to decipher what the occurrence is. As far as animal mutilations, well, there are other beings who do not look at us as we would like to look at us. And they feel that they have a right to interfere with us because basically they helped create what we now walk around in and call our bodies. Grandfather used to go to the ceremony and he would always say, it's only a robe, you're not your body. And he meant that literally. The mutilations that go on are basically trying to calculate our genetic code, because we have something that no one else in the universe has, and that is the ability to dream, create. We have such a strong, powerful spiritual heritage from where we come from. We evolved through this whole Earth experiment knowingly from an extremely high level.
Yes, in your book, not yet finished and not yet ready for the public, you talk, I've got the first copy of it here, you talk a great deal about our dreaming, our thoughts being creativity or creation.
Right. Many of the galactic beings have technology that's beyond our comprehension. We're about to find out that there are, in fact, cities on the moon, and we're about to find out that, in fact, the moon is a satellite, that it's not even what we thought it was. A lot of this will be revealed probably after November or December of this year.
Do you know the manner of that revelation?
The revelation will come through an actual appearance and a worldwide disclosure by the global governments that we are, in fact, involved with extraterrestrials and have been. They have to do this because basically the agreements that they got into with the world governments back in 1953, when Eisenhower went out there, and we made that wonderful movie Close Encounters about it, but it was very coded, is that basically their contracts are up in 1997. And they have to turn over their part of the contract, which unfortunately was us.
Excuse me, let's roll over that one more time. Their part of the contract to them is us.
Yes, we, the governments of this world, and whoever the mysterious ones, whether they be the Illuminati, the Burgomeisters, the Grey Men, whatever term you want to use for them, basically made an exchange agreement with extraterrestrials for technology, and the agreement for the extraterrestrials was that they would have full rights to us, which is why there have been so many abductions. If in Westchester County, New York, over the past 3 years, there's been over 5,000 missing children. Where do they go?
Well, some of it has terrestrial explanation, surely, but perhaps not all of it. All right, let's go back to the lines. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Good evening.
Well, this is Fritz calling from Phoenix.
Hello, Fritz.
Ghost Wolf, as you call yourself, give us something heavy. You've been teasing us now with E.T., Mothership, and certain knowledge from E.T. Give us something heavy. Did you have an encounter Does your encounter go back to childhood? Has your family had an encounter? But you know something. Give us something heavy.
Something heavy. Yeah, I've had an encounter. I've been on the ships. I've done ceremony where there's been more than one of us. There's been as many as 14 people who have been lifted up to the ships. The communication between extraterrestrials and indigenous people is a long time relationship. Unfortunately, in America, for some reason, most of what's occurring seems to be blocked from the news media. There was an incident that happened, I believe it was last October, over Phoenix, where thousands and thousands of people saw a UFO. It was on the 10 o'clock news, it was on the 1 o'clock news, and then suddenly disappeared in the 5 o'clock news. You had an incident that happened just a short while ago down in Mexico City, where hundreds of thousands of people witnessed these ships.
That's true.
And yet there was hardly any mention of it at all, except for a few seconds here and there, and probably only on the Art Bell show.
Well, as a matter of fact, Robert, it's ongoing. People are still seeing these craft in Mexico City, and it goes on so frequently it's not even reported on anymore. It just goes on and on and on. And I'm told the people in Mexico City are so used to seeing these craft now that it's just nothing special to them.
No, it's not. They don't even react to it anymore.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it?
But if you want something heavy, I could give you something heavy.
Go out right ahead.
How's this for heavy? You have a situation that's about to flare up in the Middle East. Again, you know the Desert Storm that was over, and we played with our war toys, and we won.
Yes.
And we got to exercise everything and find out what we could do and couldn't do, and
right.
Just how much people would accept, and anyone who's been traveling through airports lately will understand what it is we're supposed to be accepting. You're basically checked 3-4 times before in the same airport, getting on the same plane.
Right.
And it's just more control. Well, the reason for more control is simple. They're losing control, so what do? You employ more control. You have a situation going on in the Middle East which is about to flare up again. And part of the reason why that's flaring up is the underground installations there, which were basically designed and created with extraterrestrials. And you have a situation where the war is going to flare up, and the danger of that area and all the stored chemicals for germ warfare
mm-hmm.
and that are there would impose too much of a danger to this global unit as a whole entirety. Understand that the extraterrestrials and Native Americans both understand this is a living being. She cannot and will not be allowed to be destroyed, no matter what her children decide they're not going to do or listen to, or if they decide to go beyond reason and become totally violent, self-destructive. They will not allow that to occur. They will not intervene at this time, which is the part of the reason why your prophecies, if you go to the Mayan prophecies, all prophecies ended in 1987. They literally ended in 1987. What we're walking on right now is a blank page. And the reason why we're walking on the blank page is because everything that happens between now and then is what we write on it. Meaning, what you live, what you dream, how you choose humanity to be is going to be the way it's going to be. This war that will break up, we asked, well, what could happen? What can we do to stop this thing? They said, there's nothing that you can do to stop this thing.
You know, Robert, it's funny you said that. It kind of feels like a blank page. You know what?
It's total choice. It's total freedom, which is the one thing that's totally essential to all human beings everywhere, is freedom of expression. If we don't have that, you know, the most sacred thing to all Native Americans was free choice. We all that's why we don't have a religion. We call it a way. We could all see and talk and work with spirit and creator in the manner in which our hearts directed us. We all understood that way, but we would never take away someone's personal choice to express it how they saw it. Choice was worth more than anything.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, where are you, please?
I am calling from Montreal, Canada.
Montreal, all right.
Yes, sir. I would like to share some information with you if I could.
Go ahead.
I've been listening to your program for a few weeks now. I am a Hasidic Jew, and your guest mentioned ancient Hebrew. I studied ancient Hebrew in Jerusalem for 6.5 years, and I've been studying ever since 1978. The Hasidic community has been informed by its spiritual leader, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the arrival of the biblically promised Messiah is imminent. He mentioned this concept of quickening. Everyone is aware that there is, to use the old expression, a paradigm change going on. The Persian Gulf War was referred to in the Book of Prophets. The impact on planet Jupiter by the comet is referred to in the Kabbalah, which is the book of Jewish mysticism. And what is happening is that we are actually going into a transformation of beating swords into plowshares, and everyone is upgrading their spirituality, and this planet is going to become infused with an awareness of godliness.
All right. Robert, that would be a different perspective, but again, it sounds like the same.
Well, it is, and it's not. The Hopi refer to the emergence of the fifth world, which is what we're going into now, and it's called when man walks upright, when man returns to his spiritual nature, when man becomes one again with the Creator, when he unites with his spiritual side. What's happening all over the globe now is sort of a free-form ecumenical council between the spiritual understandings. We are becoming one race. We are becoming one understanding. There's too many ties between the different sides of the globe, the different cultures, and every religious writing that's ever occurred before 2,000 years ago. They're all pointing to the same thing. They're all pointing to a unity.
Yes.
There is writing in Peru on the side of buildings that is Egyptian hieroglyphics. I have artifacts that I have that were given to me to hold and trust and share that come from pyramids in Illinois that have carved figures of Horus.
Where in Illinois?
In the mountains in Illinois. I would prefer to just put it that way.
Right.
Before he gets inundated with people. There are also statues there that he found of these winged beings, you see, which are basically bringing us all to one understanding. And yes, we are being uplifted. And if this gentleman would like to get a hold of me, I would love to take him to New Mexico and show him the writings.
All right.
That do refer to this time in the quickening.
How do people get hold of you, by the way? And I'd like to give you an opportunity to plug anything you've got, a book or whatever.
Well, we just went up on the net, so they can get us at RyanNet, RyanNet.com/WolfLodge. Or they can call us at 360-376-6081.
I'm sorry, give it again, please.
360.
Yes.
376-6081.
What will people get at that number?
Right now they'll get an answering machine because I'm over here in Spokane talking to you.
Okay. Very good. That's 360-376-6081.
Correct.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Port Orchard, Washington.
All right.
This is Patrick. And Art, I actually called you last week, and I'll try to make it quick because I know that you don't have much time for each caller. But I wanted to talk to Ghost Wolf. I actually am the guy who called and went to the Amazon and with the Hopi Medicine Men about a year and a half ago. And we went down there and did some work with plants with the Peruvian shaman deep into the jungle. And many of the things that Ghost Wolf has been talking about tonight... with the work of the plants, if you connect everything and the earth and being created by the Creator in total balance and harmony, for every illness, emotional, physical, mental, there is a plant cure. And they found ways, they live in the fourth world constantly, finding ways to use the plants to heal these different kind of problems. And one thing I'll offer to people with the closing of or the coming of what's happening is that one thing to keep in mind is that everything that has been created by the Creator was created in the essence of love,
well,
and not out of fear.
The only thing I would add to that is that we are rapidly burning down those areas. As a matter of fact, there'll be a repeat of the Edgar Mitchell interview, Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, and he specifically said you can look down from space, and the one thing he noted was the burning of the rainforests. So those areas with those answers and those plants rapidly are shrinking. Isn't that correct, Robert?
Yes, it is correct, Art. But understand something else beyond the principle we're talking about here. Meaning, in every area, the plants that grow where you are the plants that you take. If you take herbal medicine from another part of the globe, it is not necessarily going to affect you, or are you going to utilize all of the elements in that herb the way you would if you took things that grew right where you are.
So you have what you need.
Everyone has what they need. And, you know, there's all these people now going around storing food and building these undergrounds and buying 16 tons of wheat. That won't work. You're going to have to learn how to forage. You're going to have to learn how to live off what you are, where you are. Yes, there's a cure for every illness in the immediate area that you would come down with that you have.
All right, Robert.
There's also an antidote for every poison within 20 feet of whatever that poison is.
All right. Well, then, Robert, for me, that would mean I'm going to have to learn to eat rabbits and quick. Because that's what we've got here, lots of them. This is Dreamland. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
The Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Boy, the news from Australia ought to be causing the back of your hair to kind of curl up a little bit on the back of your neck there. What they're referring to now is a massacre in Australia. 32 dead, one gunman who went crazy. I want to remind everybody, as we quicken, that our newsletter is on deadline. If you would like our newsletter, is it not time that you took the plunge? The Portland book signing, the Roswell artifact, a comprehensive and fascinating article on crop circles with 11 beautiful full-color crop circle photographs, and so much more. The way to get our newsletter is simply to call 1-800-917-4278, and the deadline is literally tonight. By the time the sun is up in the morning, it'll be too late. But if you want this issue, I would begin now. In the following issue, the alleged pieces of Roswell debris will also be depicted. 1-800-917-4278 right now if you'd like our newsletter. Also would like to welcome KLDI in Laramie, Wyoming, 1210 on the dial in Laramie. Welcome to the program. Good to have you on the network as we continue to grow. I would like to be able to tell you that I know where this is. Maybe some of you can help me out. And, Robert, I want you to listen to this. Linda Howe, for a number of weeks now, has been reporting on a creature called the goat sucker. La Chupacabra, I believe it is. But I just got this fax, and maybe we can work it in. Dear Art, the goat sucker struck West Bexar County, B-E-X-A-R County, last night and mutilated 9 goats. 3 goats are also missing. 1 goat survived the attack with wounds and scratches. The news team also interviewed an eyewitness from an attack earlier this year. The creature, described as having wings and an alien head. Contact Channel 12, KSAT Television, for more information. Well, I would if I knew where they were. But, Robert, what do you know about these? We keep getting reports on these creatures, ostensibly.
They're there.
Alien creatures, more and more of them. It began in Puerto Rico, and it is spreading. What's going on?
As a matter of fact, I've been asked to go down to Puerto Rico to deal with the problem with some people down there. Remember we talked about time-space continuum?
Yes.
The collapse of time and the merging of things?
And the blinking in and out.
And the blinking in and out.
Yes.
And do you remember Notre Dame? The church in Paris?
Yes, of course.
And do you remember gargoyles?
Yes.
And do you remember griffins? That's what they are. It's literally, you know, they're not extraterrestrial. They're not aliens. They're Earth creatures. They're something from another dimension that's been kept away from here. You're gonna hear about them soon in South America.
We already have. We've heard about them in Florida. And I'm not exactly sure where this county is, but it's obviously in this country somewhere. I'm sure we'll get a backup.
I've never heard of that county.
Nor have I. But I can look up the radio or the TV station call letters, and I will find out. So, God, fascinating what's going on. Listen, again, the what they're calling a massacre in Australia, the young children killing each other in this country, Chicago, a child dropping another child out a window because it wouldn't steal for the other child. There was a movie I saw called The Seventh Sign. I think it was with Demi Moore. In it, it was suggested that the Guff, that place that holds the souls for those that enter the world, became empty. And I'm not saying that's happened, Robert, but it's as though we have some soulless beings with us.
On many different levels.
Yes.
We have soulless beings that are being cloned right now by our government. We also have soulless beings that are being cloned by the Greys. It's all connected to the cattle mutilations, and they have been able to take human genetics and mix it with their genetics. But what happens is they create a hybrid, and the hybrid does not have a soul. It is a clone. And the life force, which is spirit, only great spirit can create life. And these beings, basically, they cannot keep them alive past a certain period of time. So the continued abductions and the mutilations are to try to take the life force and feed it to these hybrids. This, again, is nothing new. Unfortunately, it's been going on for over 35,000 years.
All right, here's a fax from JT in Morgan Hill. Please ask Mr. Ghost Wolf this about his reference to our spiritual ability to create through dreams. The Australian Aborigines have an oral tradition of a time before the creation of the world, and they call it the dream time. Does he see us returning to this point, and if so, what was the whole point of our existence in this plane?
We are returning to dream point. When we go through the shift, the Hopi have told their children that when these days come, you are to go inside your houses and close the doors. Many of the Lakota people I'm with have told their children to go inside the sweat lodge and close the flap and don't look outside. Things will be happening that will drive you mad. You will not understand it, and you will not be able to deal with it. So go inside some natural structure. Go inside the sacred places and shut out the light. Shut out what you are seeing. We are going through, again, this dimensional shift, which everything that we have ever created in our thoughts is existing out there. There are those who rather naively say, well, there cannot be these evil spirits and dark things out there. But we live in the world of man, and man created that. So to man, they are realities. Skinwalkers in the Southwest are very real.
Skinwalkers?
Skinwalkers, beings who, entities who get a little twisted out with medicine, and they basically move into the body of another being, and they take over their soul. They take over their soul. It sounds like something out of a Castaneda novel, but I've seen the results of these things. Just like the reports you're getting about the La Chupacabra. They're happening.
They are happening. I mean, that, it really is true. People sit out there probably shaking their heads, but these reports are numerous and apparently very, very real. I mean, we've got a lot of physical evidence now. There's something here that was not here before. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf.
Oh,
hello.
On the radio. Yes. Behar County's in Texas.
Is it?
Behar. San Antonio area.
San Antonio area, huh?
Yeah, I grew up there.
All right, I appreciate that.
I'm in Fairbanks, KFAR.
Fairbanks, Alaska, way
great
out there, yes, sir.
Place to be, but it's a good place to hear this.
Long way from Texas.
Oh, yeah. I'm fascinated with the subject, and what do you think of the effect of the moon and how it relates to the Earth? I mean, it's sacred.
Well, as a matter of fact, he was talking about that a little while ago. You may have missed that part. There are going to be revelations regarding the moon, aren't there, Robert?
There definitely are. As a matter of fact, I believe he was on your show this week, Richard Hogan.
Yes.
And, you know, my only complaint about Richard is, why don't you just tell him it's a satellite? Why don't you just tell him exactly what you have? And because he's got indisputable evidence of it. I mean, it's undeniable evidence. He's also got undeniable evidence of our presence on the moon, as well as the presence of others on the moon that don't necessarily come from here.
Well, we have two distinct views. One is going to be repeated tonight. I ran the Richard Hoagland show, repeated last night. Tonight, the show with Edgar Mitchell, a man who walked on that moon and said it was so much green cheese, so I'll leave it up to the audience. Your view?
My view is that it's a total artificial satellite. It was brought here many years ago, and there are many stories in our history, in Native American history, of when there were two moons, and one of those moons is now orbiting Mars.
Phobos?
One of the original moons from here is now orbiting Mars.
Wouldn't be Phobos, would it?
Yes, it would.
You know, Robert, for what it's worth, Gordon Michael Scallion, who I've been following very carefully, and has been on my program any number of times, apparently has made a recent prediction. I didn't see it, but a recent prediction that Phobos would break from its orbit and head or be hurled toward Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. My comment on it is through Andromedan connections. Basically, what's happened is the Andromedans, who we're very close with because there was a very large human colony in Andromeda. When beings ascend from this plane, they not only just go to some metaphorical gaseous space, they actually go to other solar systems. Basically, everything that we call reality can be located in a very narrow band around the Earth called the biosphere. Once you get beyond that, as the astronauts can attest to, time stops, aging stops, strange phenomena seems to occur. What we're dealing with is the Andromedans have basically declared this a no interference zone over the next 5 years, and they have ordered all alien interference, meaning from the inner Earth, to the secret chambers under the White House, to the Kremlin, that all alien interference on this planet must be off this planet by 2003. The appearance of the blue comet at this particular time, as we're viewing time, is because of the enforcement of their decree of non-interference with us, and this mothership, which is what it is just outside of our solar system, and they have many smaller ships coming in to stop the skirmishes, the clones, who there aren't that many grays. There's only about 2,000 grays. Maybe you're dealing with 3,300 or 5,000 clones. They're not grays. They weren't the original seed by creation. They were created in a laboratory. Anyone who's aware of what goes on at Los Alamos can affirm that. And what we're dealing with this is that everyone must be off the planet by 1203. 1203 is approximately when that shift will happen. It's very hard to determine this in time, because the time-space matrix that we live under is artificially maintained and created.
Wait a minute now, 1203?
23. By the year 23.
By the year 2300?
By the year 20 and 3.
Oh, 23. I see. 2023. I'm sorry. What can you
tell me? No, not to 2023. That's 2023. We're talking the year 2023. 2003.
Oh, that's not very long at all, is it?
No, it's not. And
in that,
by the year 2009, you can expect most of your Earth predictions, the major cataclysmic happenings, to begin to accelerate.
The white buffalo. The birth of the white buffalo. What can you tell us about that? What does that mean?
It's the fulfillment of a promise. It's the fulfillment of a promise of the calf woman, who again brought the sacred rites to the Lakota Nation. There are many stories of the Indian messiahs which have yet to be publicized. The messiah was not just an occurrence that happened in one place. Over here, the messiah has many names also. Amaru down Peru, Diganawita with the Iroquois, buffalo calf woman. It was a woman. There is not. Let's just say that Native Americans had sacred women before the rest of the world allowed them to be sacred. The fulfillment of the promise is the return of the ending of this time. We don't look at this time as doom and gloom and everyone will die. It is not about that. It is about that everyone has the chance now to walk over the bridge. And walking over the bridge is a very simple matter of respecting the spirituality of all things, from the plant to the stone to the human. If we're having problems trying to figure out why we're not communicating with extraterrestrials, perhaps first we should change our judgments of people of different color and different creed. We can't even accept each other. It's hard to accept each other in one family.
Yes.
Never mind accept an alien who might have blue skin because he comes from a place that has a blue sun. You see?
Yes, I do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you. I did have a question. I'm going back to his discussion of the shift. I guess what he says is 2003.
Yes. Where are you, please?
Oh, I'm calling from right near Pahasapa, the Black Hills of South Dakota.
All right.
Cool. I came out here for obvious reasons. I'm questioning, he said to go into a house or Hogan, whatever, and watch. Now, as I understand it, there are supposed to be high winds up to 300 miles an hour.
Maybe more than that.
Okay, then, in other words, going into a house itself would not do any good. You would need to be underground, basically, to be safe somewhere.
Go into a sacred cave.
Okay.
Stay within the trees.
That's what I thought.
Hmm. Stay within the trees. The danger is not just from that, the danger is also from the radiation. There's a thing called a Masonic radiation belt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is descending on the Earth now because the ozone has been damaged.
Right.
And this is also causing a lot of the insanity and people wanting to kill themselves. It's what's happening to human consciousness is the same thing that happens when a body gets cancer.
Uh-huh.
It destroys itself. It destroys the very thing that keeps it alive.
Okay.
And when you go inside these places, the thing is not to watch. The thing is to go into your inner being, to go into your spirit self, to go into your heart. It's not to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Do not watch. Closest thing that you could relate it to is in Indiana Jones when they opened up the crypt. And he said, don't look.
Yeah.
Don't look, because it won't make sense. You grandfathers had a lot of dreams of people disappearing, turning into smoke. The Hopi talk about the day when this sun will come, this that will be brighter than our sun. And it'll be so bright that it'll block out the sun, and this light will not stop, and people will start to go mad because there will be no nighttime left. And the people who no longer are connected to the spirit will turn into smoke and just go into the air.
One more question for you. Do you know if there are any people out here, I'm just outside of Rapid City itself, where I can learn the old more traditional ways, the old style. I'm already on the way, but I need to learn, you know, how to live off the land and not survivalist type of thing. But, you know, like you were talking about how to heal, you know, you can heal yourself with what's
around. Try to get close to Orville Looking Horse and his people.
Right, I'm sorry?
Orville Looking Horse.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I didn't get that myself. What did you just say? Try to get close to
your inner self. If everything's heart, Art. Everything's heart. You know, in the Bible, I think there was a part where Jesus turns around and says to Judas, you know, it's not in the mind; it's in the heart. And this is what the native people are trying to crack through everywhere. It's all in the heart. It's how we hold compassion, how we hold each other. We're all one family. And with the things that are going to happen over the next 3 to 5 years, this world, by 1999, is going to be a complete science fiction movie. Everything you ever saw in a Spielberg film will probably be happening.
It's moving that way now, Robert.
And the thing is, if we turn on each other, what hope is there? What
all
hope
right.
is there?
On that note, hold on. One thing I do know is we'll be back in a few moments. My guest is Robert Ghost Wolf. You're listening to Dreamland on a Sunday night from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Well, this is odd. I had the facts a little while ago regarding Bexar County. That's where San Antonio, Texas is, and that would be a logical location to hear about these creatures if it were coming from the south. Just a thought. San Antonio. Art, can you get Robert's internet address again, please? And it's Keith. This may be my webpage, Keith. So what is your internet address?
It's RyanNet, RyanNet.com
/Wolf Lodge.
All right. There it is. And this question for you. Will you please ask Mr. Ghost Wolf if he would want to live in Northern California right now? A simple yes or no will do. Signed, Nervous in Palo Alto.
I definitely would live in Palo Alto, and you're better in Nevada.
Better in Nevada?
Yes.
Well, occasionally there is a bright word. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Where are you calling from, please?
Hello, Art. This is Mark from Collinsville, Illinois.
Hi, Mark.
I'm going to turn my radio down here.
Turn it off all the way.
Okay. Robert.
Yeah.
You mentioned my remote control here. Okay, there we go. Robert, you mentioned that the Hopi elders believe that the comet Haiyi-Kutake is their blue star Kachina. Now, there is another Hopi Apache Native American, a Robert Morning Sky, who believes that Hale-Bopp could possibly be the blue star.
You're talking about the red Kachina.
I'm talking about the blue star.
I know that it is what they refer to as the blue Kachina.
Do you know a Robert Morning Sky?
I know of Robert Morning Sky, yes.
Do you know his work, or?
No, I'm not that familiar with his work.
Okay, I'd like to also mention that the blue star Kachinas also appear in pairs. And would it be safe to say that while Haiyi-Kutake was buzzing through the dippers, Hale-Bopp could be seen in Sagittarius?
Correct. You are correct.
All right. So, you believe, though, that Haiyi-Kutake was the blue Kachina?
Yes, I do.
Well, that rushes things right along.
This is the end of Side 1. Please leave the cassette.
Keys, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Yeah, Robert, this is Dave in Paulsville. I was going to ask you a question about the Hopi dancing star. Is that the one that we're talking about where we're getting the four different stars at once?
No, that's not the one we're talking about.
Okay, what is the dancing star?
The dancing star is yet to come.
When? Do you know? Can you tell us?
Sometime in the next 2 years.
2 years. Everything's close in now, isn't it?
Well, the Hopi, we're doing a lot of work with the Hopi Sinem, the Hopi elders, right now. It's a real bad situation there. They're getting all of their rights with their land and their sacred sites desecrated, and they're trying to fight the government, and it's kind of hard. Because nobody wants to hear their side of the story, and there's big business involved. Anyone who wishes to contact us on that, I'll give you more details. There's not enough here, but when the Hopi prophecy, when the spider webs cross their land, which has got to do with the telephone lines and the sewer lines, all these webs, all these dark roads that go across their land, and now they're getting ready to go through Hauteville, which is where the Hopi Sinem basically walked away from Old Oriabi in 1906 and said, listen, we have our own sovereign place here. We're going to do traditional work, and we're going to keep our ways. We're not going to give up our ways. And when they knew that when this came, it would be the final days, and they're literally cutting through their sacred sites now with bulldozers. Mm-hmm. When the final days come and when the blue Kachina appears, we have 5 years.
5 years.
5 years, and that
so the clock, 1995. The clock is ticking already.
It's ticking very fast. The quickening is really speeding up.
It haunts me to hear my own words come back at me. I'm just an observer. I'm not one who understands. I observe, and I observed and used that word, and it's been coming back to me ever since. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Hi. I could ask you questions all night long, but I know. So anyway, I will give you my questions, and then I'll get off the phone.
All right.
Okay, number one is, maybe you've already talked about some of these, but I haven't been able to listen to my radio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one is, on these reported alien abductions where there are exams and tests, are these good or bad guys? Two, I'm also reading by candlelight because my power's out.
Where are you?
Cahokia, Illinois.
All right.
Would
you turn your radio off for us,
please? Oh, I'm sorry. Just a second.
It's all right. That's important to do, everybody. Robert, you might answer very quickly. The alien abductions, are they good guys, bad guys, or both?
They're both.
They're both.
They're both.
How do we know the difference? I wouldn't think that good guys would perform exams. And
all right, he just answered your question.
You usually have a choice if it was good.
Okay, gotcha. Number two, where is it at now? Okay, is it we the people on this planet that are causing a lot of this quickening to happen?
We the people are causing it by our refusal to let down our attitudes. We're causing it by our refusal to acknowledge our connection with the earth, with the mother, with each other. We're causing a situation that basically cannot exist anymore. We're causing our own ending.
Okay. Number three, what do you have to say about the Giza Pyramid?
All right, we'll hold it there. The Giza Pyramid.
There's a lot more pyramids here in North America than there are in Egypt. And they're bigger. and the pyramids that you see in Egypt, let's put it this way, from the way I look at the world, the way I've been taught, we began here and went there. It's not that we began there and came here. So what's happening now in this end time is everything's coming back home. Everything's coming back to the original source. And the Great Pyramid in Egypt can also be seen in South America. And you're going to see very soon a pyramid appear because of an earthquake in Turkey. And it's going to really shock a lot of things because it's basically going to be intact. They will not have been desecrated. You're still going to see the lapis lazuli and everything on the sides of it.
So there will be more apparent.
Yes, and with that same kind of phenomenon is going to happen in Alaska.
In Alaska? What will happen in Alaska? You have many listeners now in Alaska.
You're going to have a, because of the warming and because of the shifting that's occurring up there, which is, it's pretty exciting if you watch it. It must be having 4 or 5 earthquakes a week. It's going to disclose some ancient cities, ancient places where civilization it'll be undeniable about our connection to the extraterrestrials and the fact that we're a lot older than 5,000 years old.
Many say that. Has man been here before, been and gone?
Yes, he has. He's been here for well over 100,000 years.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Hi, this is Raphael from Bakersfield.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the apparition of the Virgin Mary in Fatima, some people may believe that they had UFOs too, right? Now, there were some writings that were given, and they said the Vatican took about what's going to happen in the earth, and now they say that the Vatican decided that those writings, we weren't prepared for them, so they hide them. Do you know anything about that? The same also with Eastern Ireland. They found some tablets with old writings, and they say that we weren't prepared to listen to them, and they hide them. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I do. I don't know about those specific documents. I'm going to call them documents, whether they were written in stone. I know that there's so much hidden in the Vatican that it would literally shock the world what they know and what they've been holding back from us. I'm going to be in St. Louis in May and in Wichita, Kansas in May, and I'll be talking a lot about that. There's even complete documentation of all the herbal cures that were used by the Mayan and the Aztec people. These documents are still locked up in the catacombs of Rome.
So we would be shocked if we knew all that Rome knew.
We would be shocked if we knew all that not only Rome knew, but what our governments knew about what's going on, which is part of the reason why they're going to have to disclose it real soon, because they're also aware of what we're all talking about with the earth changes occurring, and they're also aware of the fact that these things are no longer secret, and so somebody's going to get them out.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Yes. Art Bell, Mark in Metairie, Louisiana. How you doing?
Metairie, Louisiana. Yes, sir.
Okay, look. Sorry. Let me ask this question. It's a two-part question, then I'll hang up and let Robert answer for me. If there are higher dimensions, or what I like to term them as higher levels of existence, are there also lower dimensions or lower levels of existence? Talk about, physical existence, not spiritual.
I understand.
And secondly, These other well, we call them dimensions, but these other levels of existence, in those other dimensions or those other levels of existence, are there three-dimensional worlds?
All right. That's a good question. Both of them good. Yes, we talk frequently of higher levels. Are there lower levels?
Yes, there are. That's where your chupacabra is coming from, the lower levels.
That makes sense.
They're coming from the lower levels of existence, things that we have evolved beyond, that they no longer, until this time, when it's let's call it the emergence rather than the emergence.
All right.
It's the emergence of all things that's causing these things to reappear. I mean, I was just reading in the plane, I think it was Time magazine, about they have discovered living giant sloths in the Brazilian jungle. I mean, so these are not phenomena anymore.
All right, these lower levels, or the higher ones for that matter, are they, as we understand them, three-dimensional worlds?
Some of them are, yes. Anything lower than a fourth-dimensional world is a three-dimensional world.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Hi, Art. Charles from St. Louis.
Hi, Charles.
Hi. The first question is, I would like to know what day will Robert be in St. Louis? And do we know anything about the Olmec tribe in Central America?
All right. The Olmec tribe. Let's take that first. Robert?
I'm not that familiar to speak as an expert on the Olmec tribe. I only know about them.
All right. What about the time that you will be in St. Louis?
I'm going to be in St. Louis between May 16th and May 19th. There's a phone number for that, which is 618-258-1612. And then I'm going to be in Wichita, Kansas, between the 24th and the 26th, which is 316-459-6235. And we can go into a lot of detail on that. I even have different artifacts you can look at that you can, you know, when you come from Missouri, you want to put your hand on it and see it, so that it's not just words.
Indeed. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello?
Going. Hello. I can barely hear you, sir.
Is this the Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll call back later.
Not while we're here. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghost Wolf. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Where are you?
I'm in Walnut Creek, California.
Walnut Creek, all right.
Can I go ahead?
I hope so.
Okay, I have two questions. My first question is, as far as the beings that are the negative beings, my question is, well, I've heard that our DNA, we originally had something like, I don't know, something in the helixes where we had more than we do now or something like that. I don't know if it's about that. Something like they had altered our DNA, so where our consciousness is now at a lower level.
Robert? You know anything about
that? Yeah, they did alter your DNA. The extraterrestrials have altered your DNA. They also caused the split between the hemispheres of the brain, which is why we can't work with the whole entirety of the brain, which is why we use meditation, and we've been given the gift of the breath to help put those hemispheres together so we can see things through the dimensional level, so we can see things through our spirit eye, which is our third eye.
Okay.
This all has to do with the body. It's real. It's not a metaphor. You have within you the strains of 22 different beings within your DNA, but right now you're probably, most people are probably using less than 8.
Okay. All right. And my second question was, I've heard of the Pleiadians, which are another star group, and their involvement, I guess, let's say I've read a book by Barbara Marciniak, or I've heard of the book, and there's a lot of information from them as far as the end times and whatnot. And but I guess there's no involvement with them and us except for just their information. Is that true? Or
there's been a lot of involvement with the Pleiadians. It was the Pleiadians who were basically the rulers of Atlantis. And they basically left us alone after nuclear destruction, which is when we all have the remembrance of being in the inner earth. We were in the inner earth for over 580 years. The Hopi talk about when we went down into the inner earth and then we came back up into this fourth world. As far as them not having any interaction with us except on an information level, I think if you very shortly you're going to see some documents that are going to be forced to come open to show the extent to which our government is involved with the Pleiadians.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I would like to talk about, like, what his beliefs, like, with the crucifixion of Christ and, like, towards Christianity in the Bible.
All right. How does Christianity, Robert, mix in with everything else?
Everything's a truth, Art. Everything's a truth. I just wish that they hadn't eliminated most of the information that Jesus tried to give to the people. I wish that people could look at the story of this incredible master for all that he was and realize the connection between him and Buddha and Krishna and the Ganavita and the calf woman. I think that if we stop our separation between ourselves as people, we also have to stop it between ourselves as spiritual understanding. Everyone's got a different perspective. Everyone sees the buffalo skull from a different point of view.
Maybe time for one more. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Is this the Art Bell Show?
Yes, where are you?
I am in Canyon Country, California.
All right, go right ahead. We've only got a minute.
Okay, I just wanted to say do you know about the pyramids that they give off a columnar frequency to power the Giza pyramid? And that is actually a counterbalance for this planet. And as the spiritual energy or the spiral of energy... it is coming, which is the second coming of Christ. Do you know anything about that? The consciousness is basically what he is.
I can answer that quickly, I think.
All right, go ahead.
Basically, you're in the middle of the second coming. And the second coming is the Christ consciousness in all beings, literally all beings and all things, in the stone, in the rock, in the water, in the dolphin, in the male and the female, in the black and the yellow, in the red and the white, in the Hebrew and the Christian, in the Buddhist and the Hindu. It's the Christ consciousness is bringing us all to one. Regarding your pyramids and the crystals that affect things, for instance, around the Bermuda Triangle with the Atlantean crystals, which are not just there, they're in the Southwest. There's one in Santa Fe, there's one in Four Corners. These things are helping to maintain the artificial time-space matrix so that we think all of our past lives are separate. They're all one. It's not separate things that happen. You didn't, like, die, go into a dream, and then turn into another movie. You are one continuum. You are one continuum being. Your dream is constant. It's a totally connected flow.
All right, Robert,
you wouldn't be here.
Robert, we're out of time. I mean, we're really out of time. So I have only enough time to say thank you. It has been a pleasure having you on. You will be on with us again, I hope.
I'd be looking forward to it. And if anybody misses me, catch me in Phoenix on June 22nd and 23rd. I'll be at the Prophecy Conference down there at the Dobson Ranch.
All right, that's it. Thank you very much, Robert. Robert Ghostwolf, my guest. If you want a copy of this program or you want to get our newsletter on Deadline, it's 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.